Okay, this is the KPFA LSB regular meeting, September 18th, 2021. I will call the meeting to order now, and I will ask Carol to take roll.
Thank you. Okay, Sharon Adams.
Here.
Darren here. Marilyn Langlois asks for an excused absence. Daniel Borgstrom.
Present. Daniel present.
Daniel here. Christine Pepin asks for an excused absence. Chris Corey.
I'm here.
Chris here. Mark Van Landuit. We'll come back to him. Susan Da Silva.
Here.
Susan here. Shira Dedman asked for an excused absence. Donald Goldmacher asked for an excused absence. He may be able to join us later. He is had a medical issue. Christina Huggins.
Present.
Christina here. Mantra Plancy asked for an excused absence. James McFadden.
Here.
James here. Lily Kimura is going to try and call in. She asked for an excused absence if she's not able to. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Aki is here. Andrea Turner asked for an excused absence. She will call in if she's able to. Tom Borges.
Tom is here.
Tom is here. Carol Wolfley, I'm here. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina, I can't hear you. Okay, we'll check back on Sabrina.
Here, here, here.
Oh, Sabrina, here, here, here.
She's really here.
Yes, in all her beings. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Darlene is here. Tim Lynch. Okay, we'll check back with Tim. Okay, Frank Sterling was... Frank?
I'm here.
Frank is here. Janine Utter.
Here.
Janine is here. Philip Muldari.
Here.
Philip is here. Donald McClay.
I'm here. I may have to ask to leave early. I'm going to try to stay the whole meeting.
I don't know if we can let you leave early.
Okay. You don't have to ask, Don.
You're kidding, Don.
You don't have to ask.
If you have to leave, you have to leave. We understand.
Okay. So I propose that we excuse all of the absences mentioned.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. So anybody, I guess I'll ask if there's anyone opposed, please raise your hand. Jose, is there any hand, are there any hands raised that I don't see?
No.
Okay, so the people who have asked to be excused are excused then. So we will move along with the Zoom instructions, which I will read. Participation, for purposes of sound quality and clear communication without interruptions, participants are asked to mute themselves during KPFA LSB online meetings, and the chair or host will recognize one person at a time to unmute themselves and speak. Board members on the phone can mute and unmute themselves by pressing *6. The use of the Zoom chat option is reserved for LSB members only so that board members are able to process board business without distraction of board. We look forward to hearing from members of the public during the comment period. I mean, just to let people know, there's a typo in here that town hall remained from the last time, but that was a mistake. Board members wishing to be called on during the meeting are asked to raise hand by clicking on the participant button at the bottom of the screen and then clicking on the raise hand button on the right, or to press *9 on a phone. Board members will be called on by staff. LSB board members shall use chat to submit written motions to the LSB secretary. Board members online may vote by Zoom, raise hand, or by roll call, or by email with a code when needed. And I'm going to read the LSB meeting and email agreements. Audio recording of the meetings is available at kpftx.org. No video recording is permitted at KPF LSB meetings. Speak with others respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA LSB members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff, and volunteers confidential to be shared only within closed session LSB meetings. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements, after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting or be removed from the meeting. And since we've already done roll call, I'm going to go to approve the agenda. Have people had an opportunity to review the agenda that was sent out? And do I have a motion to approve the agenda? Dawn, is that a motion to approve or a question?
I got two questions. One is we have several times said we were going to talk about having a fundraising committee, and I think it's under unfinished business. I would like to make a point of it and make sure that we organize our time today so that this actually gets raised, discussed, and voted on.
Yeah, if you read over the agenda, Dom, it's on there and it's time certain.
Well, okay, but I just want to make a point of it. It was time certain before.
It was not time certain before.
The other thing is I didn't receive, and I don't know if anyone else received, an actual copy of the proposed budget. Am I wrong, or does anyone have that?
It was sent out a couple days ago by Sharon.
An actual copy of the budget?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have it. Maybe someone could send it to me.
I don't know what
I'll send it to you now.
All right. And what are you using for an email address? Because this has happened several times.
Well, you better give your email address to Carol Wolfley again to be sure that we have an accurate email address for you. Because you also said you didn't get the agenda, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Meeting notice. So we might have an email for you that's inaccurate. So if you give that to Carol again, that would be helpful to make sure we have your accurate email address.
Yeah, Pacific, I had the wrong email address for him.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, can I say something really quick? Jose, you keep kicking me off the meeting.
Oh, that's you. That's because we're signed in under the same.
Yes, okay. I noticed that.
Okay, cool. I am sorry about that. I'm glad I know it's you now.
That was me asking. I wasn't sure, Maria. So yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
Okay.
So we have the motion to approve the agenda. I'll ask again, if there's any objections, raise your hand if you do not wish to approve the agenda. And I'll ask Jose to take note for me if anyone's hand is raised.
Will do.
Thank you, Jose. Do you see any hands raised, Jose?
Nope. No hands.
Okay. Agenda is approved. So we'll move on with KPFA updates and introduction of the KPFA draft budget.
Give me just a moment, please.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Quincy. Before Maria, I was going to introduce Maria to do the budget, but I thought I could just jump in and do a really short general manager's report, not my usual long, boring thing, but just a quick update so for some information that I think that the board members ought to hear. So can I get the 10 minutes and just before I give it to Maria in the budget?
Sure. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Let's see. The emergence of the highly transmittable Delta variant, which has propelled a new wave of infections across the country, has necessitated federal and state safety agencies to call for businesses with more than 100 workers to require vaccinations against the coronavirus. KPFA's latest COVID-19 station survey results initiated by our Health and Safety Committee, which consists of union members, unpaid staff, and management reps, in consultation with our HR director, Cynthia Dobek, have concluded after analysis of the data and feedback that most of the staff, 97%, believe a fully vaccinated workforce creates the safest possible workplace environment. Our Health and Safety Committee, which is included in the CWA contract, is here to monitor health and safety conditions in the station and to review any complaints about health and safety. We believe that our survey findings will enhance protections while we manage a gradual reopening of the building in the future. The committee will continue to evaluate and update our policy as the pandemic and federal, state, and local guidances evolve. Members of the HNS committee are Deanna Martinez, Chris Lee, Tim Lynch, Mary Tilson, Antonio Ortiz, myself, and Lucy Kang. More on Lucy Kang in just a few minutes. Our survey results were sent to staff yesterday. Fortunately for us, our essential workers are already at 97% vaccinated. KPFA will require all essential workers to be vaccinated or show a recent negative test as a condition of entry, plus continue to employ our COVID-19 safety rules and protocols. Another concern the survey yielded was our staff wanted information on capacity limits for the building and office spaces inside the station to reduce possible transmission, among workers. We identified work in common areas where employees could have close contact within 6 feet, of course. For example, the patio, parking lot, the kitchen, and routes of entry and exit. Also, several offices and rooms at the station with no ventilation have been closed to entry, and every space has a capacity limit assigned to it. The maximum occupancy for the radio station is 12 individuals, which we reach infrequently. KPFA's number of individuals range during the following time periods: Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m., about 2 to 3 individuals, 9 to 12, about 4 to 6, noon to 2, about 8 to 12, but that's a transition period of staff, but we very rarely hit the number 12, and 2 to 9 p.m., about 3 to 5 people. Saturdays and Sundays from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., about 1 to 3 people at any given time. Another effort to improve the air quality inside the station, our aging air conditioning system that keeps master control and other studios operating at acceptable temperatures, is finally being replaced this coming week. The cost of the new air conditioning system was budgeted around $15,000. KPFA's main transmitter experienced fan failure, but we were able to maintain a stable operating temperature and broadcast at full power. However, replacement parts were needed. The cost was around $2,500. As we look towards and plan for a future where we can gather safely, we've taken the opportunity to upgrade the music mixing console and accompanying furniture in our production control room. This will allow the performance studio to be ready to reopen when the station reopens. Cost was about $8,000. KPFA can now be heard on 94.3 FM in Monterey. We've expanded our reception area by installing a 10-watt translator. We entered a 5-year contract with American Tower for about $900 a month. This is how it works. A translator listens to our signal, 94.1 FM, and rebroadcasts that on another, 94.3. We have a similar setup in Santa Cruz. KPFA's 2021 summer fund drive was, by every measure, a success. While the goal of $300,000 was not quite reached, our 91% pledge percentage is very strong, and by extending the drive dates in a soft post-summer drive, a few extra days, well, ultimately, we narrowed the gap to about $6,000 short and only about, that's about 2%. While the summer drive started off slowly, it finished on an extremely strong note. The final day of the drive brought in a whopping $63,500 alone. if not a single day record, certainly one of the best drive days in recent memory. There was a strong push to get donors to donate online so we can rely less on expensive call centers. This was very successful. Most donations were made via KPFA's website. Not only a great cost-saving method, but it's also showcased our revamped, quick, and reliable donation pages. Check it out sometime. Our reliance on physical premiums has continued to decrease, which obviously allows KPFA to realize more profit from donations. We continue to create more digital premiums that we can draw from curated collections of show archives, event videos, and special themed audio collections. For example, Letters in Politics' U.S. History Collection is just one example of the innovative use of in-house resources. These cost the station almost nothing to produce and showcase the uniqueness of KPFA in its fullest. However, donors still respond very well to branded products. The summer drive offered new merchandise. New designs of T-shirts, stickers, and a limited edition enamel pin were offered, themed around our campaign of storytelling for social change. These items were immensely popular, and we will continue to have them available during the upcoming fall drive, which starts next week. A donation of 75 seats aboard a luxury cruise ship from Tideline Tours, and the cruise was called Cruising with History with best-selling author Gary Camilla, was also a wonderful experimental premium, and that donation raised $12,000 for us. One of the most positive aspects to emerge this year for KPFA has been the professional recognition received for the extraordinary work of Lucy Kang, a long-form reporter, producer, and contributor to KPFA's news department and Upfront. In March, Lucy acquired an Excellence in Journalism Award from the Society of Professional Journalists of Northern California for her work on the feature-length investigation On the Brink, Homelessness Before and During COVID-19. And most recently, in June, Lucy was awarded the first place recipient of the Public Media Journalist Association Award and Enterprise Reporting, garnering national kudos for her feature, Present Meets Past at Burning Man. Lucy has also spearheaded KPFA storytelling projects since 2018, which has provided training and mentorship of early career KPFA news journalists, while also offering additional avenues of support, development, and growth for the news reporters within our station. Please join me in congratulating Lucy for all the excellent work she does for KPFA. Also, big thanks to everyone who helped make KPFA's broadcast of the Black Women's Blues Festival last month a success. This was our first live remote broadcast with our new digital equipment. We partnered again with our friends at Freight and Salvage and the Berkeley Civic Center Park. Special thanks to our engineering team and all the programmers who participated in making this event special. Later this fall, KPFA is planning to offer a course to help embed diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging into our workplace environment. It will include a review of policies, recruitment methods, engage everyone in our diversity of thought, and increase visibility. Stay tuned for dates and times for that upcoming workshop. Lastly, just before I turn it over to Maria, because the budget is the thing, I just want to mention that the property taxes, that is still lingering and still going on. And the cost so far to KPFA for this has been $76,000. Okay, so on to the budget. And Maria, unless there's some questions or something that you guys want me to answer.
Thank you, Quincy. Does anybody have any questions for Quincy? Jose, do you see any hands?
Yeah, Franklin's hand. So.
Franklin, go. And by the way, first let me ask you, Franklin, we're in a privilege here. Are you okay? Are you doing okay? We saw a message that you got hurt.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. There was a protest in Antioch where and the police got heavily involved and arrested me and a couple other people. But yes, I'm okay. I got a little scrub on my eye.
Ouch.
That's about it for now. And oh, I got the taser. I got tased.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so just happened, okay. So I'm looking more into what's going to become of it, and I'll keep you all posted. Thanks for everyone that reached out.
Thank you, Franklin.
And thank you for your concern. Thank you, Quincy, for the report and keeping the station safe. And yeah, I'm curious about like returning back, to the station. And I was wondering about, like, I know you're developing your plan as it goes and things are constantly changing, but like off hours, returning, by appointment to, later at night when no one's there to have some use of equipment or stuff like that. Of course, following all the rules of the station, sanitizing after you're done, wiping it down, all the stuff that's already been, listed at the station. So stuff like that I'd be curious about. And, I didn't take a bunch of other notes, but I did, I had some other questions. I'll think about it. And, yeah, returning to the station, for fully vaccinated people, I'm interested in how that's going to work when maybe you see it happening. And in what numbers, and also the option of maybe coming, after hours, even late at night when no one's there. Of course, you know, arranging, by appointment, for now.
And, yeah. And, Frank.
So what do you think? What do you think?
We're talking about it now constantly. If you look at the survey results that were sent to the staff yesterday, you'll see at the end that it talks about exactly what you're saying. So we're talking about, we're meeting and trying to figure out a way to start doing that. In the meantime, Frank, all you got to do is contact, Antonio or the program director with any kind of special request and see if you can run it past them to get permission to come in. It just depends on what it is. We've had people asking us constantly about, you know, things to do. And some of them is not too bright. Like somebody wanted to do a photo shoot in the performance studio. And we were like, are you kidding? So, you know, so it depends on what it is. So yeah, so it's happening. I mean, some people do come in and do some pre-recording and things like that. You know, we've allowed that and that's happened. So yeah, so that's all you have to do is just check in.
Thank you, Quincy. And who's next, Jose?
It's James McFadden.
First I want to just thank the general manager for giving a report. And I think a number of us on the local station board would enjoy having even a short report like that at all our meetings. We don't have that many meetings. And if we could get one of those every meeting, I think that would be useful. And then second, I just wanted to ask that, since one of our tasks as a local station board is to, pass on with a recommendation the, budget to do today, it would be really helpful if we could get those budget spreadsheets more than a day before. A lot of us have lives and work and to just get it on Friday, when we're going to be voting on it the next morning. It's just not enough time. And I think if you can just push for that to be sent out, you know, 3 or 4 days early, that would be a big help.
Quincy?
That wasn't a question, but I understand what you're talking about. It's very complicated, but the workshops are the key. You know, we have these workshops so that the board members can participate, so you can really get down and dirty with it. And so, you know, participating at those things are the key. So, but, you know, Maria tries hard to get the thing to you as early as possible. That's all I can say is that, you know, we've set up the workshops just for this purpose, so you can spend a lot of time with it and get, you know, really down with it. As far as, you know, and the other problem is too, and I apologize for this because some of the reasons why it's a little late for you is because Maria gets information late from other people. You know, some of the other staff members and department head people are formulating their stuff and we work on it and we change things and me and her go back and forth and back and forth and, you know, go, let's call them and let's get this changed and we can't do that. We can do this. So there's a lot of that goes on. It's a big process for us and it starts very early for us. I mean, we're talking about this and working on this thing back in July. So, okay. But you know, yes, we hear this all the time. And Mr. McMillan, and we'll try to, is it McMillan or McMullen?
McFadden.
Oh, McFadden. Okay. Sorry. We'll try to do that next time around.
Thank you, Quincy. And could you call the next person, Jose?
Yeah. Susan Da Silva.
Hi, Quincy, and thank you so much. We're so proud of the job that you're doing at the station and and everyone at the station. Things seem to be going really well. I'm just concerned about the membership lists and the fact that it seems that especially sustaining members, sometimes their emails get dropped from the membership lists, whatever, so they don't get things. And I'm wondering if you have any insight into that and what can be done. This is not a problem peculiar to KPFA. It seems to be Pacifica-wide.
Yeah, we've worked a lot on, you know, getting the foundational work done on our database, and we finally have gotten this thing in pretty good shape now. We also have a great development director now, too, who really understands it, and we have a chief engineer who works together really strongly. It's a good team. It's a good team of guys and women. And right now, our database is probably the best it's ever looked. We've got we're communicating with sustainers better now. All that thing is happening. We can see our numbers clearly. We can start breaking up demographics. It gives us a better opportunity to reach out to people who really are major donors. So we have a real good idea of segregating all of those different people. And now we'll be able to really do the kind of work that we should be doing to try to bring in outside money. So that we don't have to depend so much on these damn fund drives, because, you know, we can't make it with continuing to have these many fund drives. It's just too much. When we squeaked through the summer drive, I was amazed, but I'm always amazed by our donors. I mean, they always come through once we get on there and just say, look, we're behind, we're dying over here. They always seem to come through, but we can't keep doing that. You can't keep squeezing them, and it wears on the staff. I mean, you know, every time you turn around, you got to get on there and start, you know, and pledging again, and pitching again. So, it's wear and tear, but hopefully with the new database and the way it's designed, it gives us this opportunity to get in there and try to raise money on the outside as best we can. The other thing is, Pacifica finally has his audits together. So we'll be able to take those audits and go out and try to get some extra money, from some foundations, family foundations mostly, you know, people whose missions kind of line up with ours, because, the audit report's not going to be beautiful because the foundation's in trouble. And so people don't like throwing good money after bad. So you're not going to get that. But when you find people whose missions match ours a lot for social change or environmental and all these kind of things that we do very well at KPFA, they tend to send us money. So if we can increase the 10 and the $5,000 and the 20,000 donations, it could add up to enough money to allow us to drop a summer drive, for instance. That's important for us. And that's a big goal for all of us. We tried something in April where we tried to increase our membership with the BAM program, become a member, BAM. And, so we did well. We did well in April. We just zeroed in and said, hey, let's not try to raise a lot of money. Let's try to raise a bunch of new members. So we were able to raise a substantial amount of new members. So we're going to expand that program and try to keep the BAM program going as another thing that we're doing on the outside so that we can keep growing sustainers. The more sustainers that we have, the more money that we can count on, the easier it is for us to lower fund drive goals and make them less painful for everybody. I hope that kind of answers some of this stuff for you, Susan.
Thank you, Quincy. I think we have a couple more questions that we're going to try to move into the budget because that's going to take up some time, I think. So I think Jose, was Carol next?
Correct.
Thanks. And Quincy, I just wanted to pass on and ask that you pass on to Lucy Kang how much we appreciate all that she is doing and all the work that she's done on behalf of the board, unless anybody has an objection to that. And also just to say that the storytelling for social change, I wondered, it's really great to hear it on the radio and hear those little spots and all of the, different stories that come across. I think it really is unique to KPFA and, inspirational. So thank you.
Oh, that's why we're doing it. You know, KPFA's got the greatest story of every radio, and of any radio station I know about, probably in the history of radio. You know, the way it was born out of that mission and how that mission has continued now for 72 years. And we know that, and we know the difference between us and the other stations in the market. I think stations like KLW, they have a problem because they don't have a real narrative. They don't have anything to talk about. KQED is just the boss because they came in and took what KLW was doing years ago and did it better. But us, you know, we have this great thing that, you know, we're listener supported. We have no corporations looking over our shoulders. We don't come out and say, this is brought to you by does does what the others doesn't do. We don't have to do any of that stuff. And our story is wonderful. And when our people get on the air and just tell our story, the donors respond to it. And then when we're doing the mission, and I mean, really, you know, putting the resources together to help people through the COVID thing, really trying to put things together to help abolish racism and do all the stuff that we really are supposed to be doing. We're pretty damn good. And we got some, you know, we got some really excellent shows now. And I think the addition of the environmental show on Friday has been a terrific addition to the radio station. There's other things that we need to do. We need to have some mental health programming on there. We know that we need to have more health things for the audience and stuff. And we're talking to people and trying to, but it's hard to find people to come and work under the mission. I mean, and the ones that do, we're so lucky to have so many people that are so dedicated to what the radio station is all about. It's, okay. It's great. So I'll cut it off there, but I know, cause you want to go on. Sorry.
Thanks. And Jose, there's one more person, right?
Yep. Philip.
Okay.
Quincy, I noticed that, a year from now, you're planning the September drive to be the last 2 weeks of September. The drive that starts on Tuesday is 1 week in September and 1 week in October, which straddles the fiscal year. So that the first week of money raised will accrue to the current fiscal year and the second to next fiscal year. But you're essentially front loading next fiscal year with an extra week of fundraising. And the year after that, will in fact, fiscal year 23 will be missing out on a week. Or am I just being paranoid?
Well, you've always been paranoid. That's what we like about you. That's what works on Sunday morning is when you're on there being paranoid and asking those crazy questions and taking those crazy callers. But, no, I don't know. You're right. You know how we are with this thing. Those dates always move around depending on need and depending on other situations that things are in the news or whatever. And sometimes there's the Congress is having a hearing or whatever, you know, so we have to move things around. So those aren't locked in, Philip. There's just, you know, it's always fluid.
Thank you, Quincy.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. The numbers are great on Sunday morning, Philip. You got us actually thinking about maybe trying to talk you into doing it on Saturday morning as well.
No.
Tell us what you did, Philip.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. No. I got to try.
Okay. Thanks very much, Quincy. Appreciate your report and appreciate you taking the time. I think we're going to go ahead and move on to Maria. You want to go ahead, Maria?
Yeah, sorry. first of all, just want to say that I just arrived. My husband and I just came home last night from vacation. So partly why I was working on the budget as well during my vacation. So I have a life too, Mr. McFadden. But I also picked up a cold from our granddaughter. So my head is not all together here. So I'll try to get through as much as I can or as best as I can. Sorry. Yeah. See, I can't even put together a thought. And if everybody could please just pull up the budget, that was sent out, I'd appreciate it. Let's see. Hopefully it's just a cold, by the way, and not COVID either. I came back from the belly of the beast, as they say.
Marie, do you want to screen share, Jose?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Can you guys get that, or do you guys have that?
Yes. Well done, Maria.
I'm going to start with what I said over and over, and 12 years in, I forget how many times I've said this. We continue to be successful. We've continued to, if not make our goals, almost reach our goals. We have incredible fulfillment, which means that we push to get as much money as we can through credit cards, which means that we get as much money as we can right away, as opposed to spending a whole year trying to get people to pay their pledges. We get like within the right after the fund drives, we're like at 75% fulfillment.
Wow.
Unfortunately, we have sister stations that don't even get 65% over a year's time. So our money comes in quick, quick, quick. The other thing that has been wonderful, as Quincy mentioned, we have our development director. We have an amazing group right now. Our development team is just kicking it, you know, out of the park, or I guess batting it out of the park, whatever. We used to get in sustainers 40 to 45,000. 45 would be on the top. Anywhere between 38 to 42,000 a month is what we would get in sustainers. Right now we're at 55,000. And on top of that, we meet our goals and get our fulfillment at like 90%. So our development department is incredible. Kevin continues to, you know, reach out to foundations and organizations. And the man, if you guys don't know him, you should look him up. He's got a lot of connections in the Bay Area. So I only can imagine just more and more wonderful things coming. As you guys know, I forget when it was, Sharon, I had to present the budget to the National Finance Committee a few months ago, which was already 9 months into the year. And I was told, or the National Finance Committee was told by our CFO that our budgets and our financials always continue to be right on point. I underestimate our income. I tend to be very conservative with our expenses. So, you know, it is what it is. I also, before I go on to the actual budget, I want to say that Quincy and I have had a few conversations with the actual tax collector for Alameda County. I mean, not somebody on staff, the big guy, the guy that you guys all voted on who live in Alameda County. And he continues to say that the problem was not that KPFA didn't pay the taxes. The problem existed and remains to exist after all these years with the fact that Pacifica has changed their name so often and has never filed all the proper paperwork. Therefore, we lost our exemption, which caused our taxes to increase by 86%. So that just continues to be a problem. So I've shown, you know, the fund drives, which really haven't changed. really haven't changed from year to year. We continue to not add days to our fund drives. I think we added, I can't remember if it was this year or last year, that we added a few days to one fund drive. And I hadn't seen that in, I don't know, a decade. So that's amazing. And I don't know if there's anything. And again, I'm really sorry, but my head is not on straight today. So we could just move on to the budget. I do have to apologize about something that our wonderful development department has been working very hard on, is that we did have some problems previously with our database. So I was not getting the proper information to be able to allocate the revenue properly. So things are a little askew when it comes to revenue. So I would urge you just to kind of look at the bottom line. It is what it is in terms of, you know, the money just comes in. So it kind of doesn't matter where it's coming from as long as we get the money in, right? I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. But we had less fund drive days, as Philip mentioned, you know, things sometimes change in 2021. And I'm just barely, you know, with 8 more days, I'm barely, increasing the revenue. Our personnel expenses went up a bit. We did have a couple of times, throughout the year that we had to double up on people, such as our development director. Our previous development director left. And our current development director was coming on. So we had a few months where, there was overlap in cost. So that can be a consideration for this. The numbers that you see here for our central services, which is basically $500,000. We continue to pay our central services. We are not behind on our central services. We pay them. We will pay, we owe September, I think, possibly half of August and all of September. I was on vacation, so I don't remember exactly where we are at the moment. But by the end of September, we will be paid up and we will go into the fiscal year not owing Pacifica anything. One thing I did want to mention about revenue is, let's see. There it is, corporate match. That would be A9. Pacifica receives the money for all the stations, and they haven't been doling it out. They've been keeping the money, and I'm kind of putting an end to that. I'm going to figure out, because I have access to those reports, and I am just going to pay our central services less the money that we get for corporate matches. And I'm also going to talk to Quincy and our development director to get people to, you know, to help us with our corporate matches. Anybody who works for large corporations, even small corporations or mom and pops, whatever, whomever wants to do a corporate match. I mean, we have Google, we have Kaiser, we have Microsoft, just many large corporations. And it's, you know, if you give $10 out of your paycheck, they match $10. It's simple as that. It's like free money, if you ask me. So anybody should just start to Mr. McClay, who said that we should have a development or fundraising committee. That's one way to do it, is just go out there and talk to your friends. Anybody who already gives to KPFA, do it through your paycheck and have your employer match it. So, let's see. I have, I already talked about, the salary and expenses were high last year. I attribute it to a lot of the fact that we had some double, dipping because we had to do some training and turnover and such. I have, board elections. I don't know. I haven't seen what the prices are, for this coming election. In previous elections, I've asked for actual invoices. I've not really received them. So I'm getting really pushy on that. I want to see. I mean, we're just told, as an example, a couple of years ago for some other election that we had, $63,000 just showed up in our intercompany, but I had nothing to show what that was for. So that's kind of a problem in my opinion. Telephone expenses. Our telephone expenses, as Quincy talked about, our chief engineer, I call him the computer that wore tennis shoes. As you can see here in fiscal year 19, our telephone expenses alone were $43,000. And currently, we're at $8,000.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I mean, you know, I continue to over budget, not by a lot this time, because now I can actually feel comfortable with the number. But still, he, you know, the internet expenses are a little bit higher. We had got rid of, what do they call it? ISDN, which when I asked him, what does that mean? He says, I still don't know. Get it? ISDN. I still don't know. And he does something called IDPTL, which that I really don't know what that means. But I don't care what it means as long as it brings our prices down. I mean, we used to have $5,000 a month expenses for the ISDN lines. Let's see. Everything else you can see is pretty much on, you know, I always say it. I do it always based on history. I don't, I just look at what the history is and so far that has always, we've always managed to be right on point. Our, if anybody has seen the rent and lease equipment went down considerably. And the reason is that, I renegotiated the contract and got rid of one of the copiers. We never used it. So once the contract was up, we got rid of that one copier and that reduced the price by half. So, there's that. And let's see, programming expenses are what they are. I'm still budgeting higher on other programming expenses. We have.
Que soñé en paños menores.
I'm sorry.
Metiéndote de pasión, lujo.
Could you, please, whoever's there, could you please mute yourself?
Sorry. Let's see. So we, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought here. Okay. Again, I'm just trying to always be as conservative as I can in our expenses. We have done so many renovations, to our studios and that's pretty much come to a stop, you know, because we're done. Let's see, in terms of, development, again, premium expenses, as Quincy says, I expect those to even go down further. I budgeted 120,000 last year. We came in at around 87. So it's just again, being as conservative as I can. Our community events, Jose, it does the administration of the Zoom meetings on that. And we are saving on the rental. I'm sad that there isn't as much, participation by our listeners on that. I don't know what we can do, but maybe people have ideas on that. The revenue that I have here, is a little low. I haven't received, that's not true. I just received some of the most latest reports, I think on Thursday or yesterday. And I don't know. I haven't looked at them yet. So that's about it, in a nutshell. I don't know what more to say. You know, we did have those workshops. Unfortunately, the first workshop that was on a Saturday, was, I think four people came and the second workshop was just me and Christina for, I don't know, a good half hour. So that's about it. I don't know. I guess I could open it to questions and just go on that.
Thank you, Maria. Do we have, Jose, would you, call on the people with questions?
Yeah, it's, Carol.
Carol?
Yes, Maria, I wanted to ask, so it was my understanding that some money was taken from KPFA, to cover, KPFK's bank account, payroll. So what happens when money is shifted out of KPFA's budget? Or I understand that there was also a similar problem with the affiliates, that money was taken out of their bank account when they, you know, the 200 national stations that operate using Pacifica programming and money was removed from their account. There doesn't seem to be accounting membranes to protect the stations. And what does that do to your budget when the money is shifted around?
Well, it's not necessarily the budget that's the problem with that. It's our bank account. So what happens is that we had to fund our payroll on the 10th, I think it was. The 10th was last Friday. And on Wednesday, I believe it was, or maybe Tuesday, I received a phone call. No, it was Tuesday. I received a phone call from the KPFK business manager asking us for $8,000. Excuse me. So they didn't take it. They asked, and it was KPFK who asked us. From what I understand, don't quote me because I heard it second or third hand, that they just went in and took money from the affiliates, $13,000, I believe. That has happened to us in the past. And so what happens is the budget is what it is. I mean, you know, I budget for salary, and if they take the money out of the bank account, I may not have, or they may not have, the affiliates, for example, may not have money to pay their own payroll on the next time. So far, every time somebody has borrowed, or they borrowed that little bit of money, we get the money back. So next payroll, I'll fund less $8,000, and Kay will make up that difference. We're still owed a lot of money by a lot of the stations and Pacifica. So it's a matter of the bank account, the cash flow. This is a plan. This is a map. This is, you know, maps. You can have a map and you can take different routes. So a budget is not set in stone by any means. I mean, we all have had it in our personal lives. So if you don't plan to have your engine blow up and you have to pay $5,000 to get your engine, a new engine, you may not have enough money to pay your mortgage, right? So it's the exact same thing here. This is a plan. And if some big bomb goes into our plan, then we have to reroute everything. So, it's, like I said, what's the saying? Best laid plans, blah, blah, blah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I just want to express my concern about the extreme financial challenges that we're seeing at KPFK and WBAI, and how that may affect our budget.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Coming next year, and you know, KPFT as well. So.
And then, you know, the legal fees that Quincy was talking about, we were paying $14,000 a year in property taxes, which just boggles my mind why people think I would not have paid property taxes. But when they're $250,000 a year, that makes it a big difference, right? Or whatever it was. I can't think of the differences now, but significant amounts. So we ended up having to pay for the legal fees for Pacifica because they didn't have the money to get their stuff together. It wasn't something we had planned. You know, I'd rather pay $14,000 in taxes to the Alameda County versus paying thousands of dollars to an attorney to fix a mistake that was just a matter of signing some documents 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Thank you, Maria. Jose, is Chris next?
Sharon is up next, and then Chris.
Okay.
Oh, I'll let Chris go, and then I'll go.
Okay, so it's Chris.
What? I'm sorry, was I being called on there?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted, this question comes across continuously about intercompany transfers. And I just want to let you know that it's, you know, this is something that confuses everybody. And so I understand the questions that come up as a result of it. It's a balance sheet thing. And what that means is that it's an asset transfer issue. So the assets of one division go to another. It's actually not uncommon in Pacifica at all, because with five individual, actually seven technically, individual units in the corporation, the odds of one of them having a shortfall within any particular month, it's actually pretty high. So intercompany transfers happen on an ongoing basis. They're decisions that are made by management. So this comes down from the executive director. And generally speaking, they're paid back fairly quickly. As soon as, for example, a station that had a shortfall goes into fund drive, those monies are returned to the station from which they were transferred. But occasionally, when a station is running continuously in arrears, those transfers just build up over time. And if you look at the audited financials, you can actually see these transfers as they've accumulated over time on the balance sheet. So KPFA has a rather large intercompany transfer column asset for all of the work that KPFA has done propping up other stations over the years. So it's not at all an uncommon thing. Especially for this unit to have its coffers, to have money come out of the station for other means. The legal fee issue, I think, is something that we really should consider coming from KPFA, particularly with regard to the property, because I think Pacifica has this inclination to do good cop, bad cop on this, to play the easy side of both situations. When it comes to the asset, they're perfectly happy to take the asset when it serves them. But when the liabilities come up, the organization is not inclined to pay for the liabilities associated with that asset. So there's a matter of fairness here that's not being undertaken. And I would strongly suggest that the PMB at some point consider this. If they want to make themselves in charge of all the assets of Pacifica, they should protect those assets from legal liability. So that is my own 2 cents worth on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I think that if I'm not wrong, I believe Sharon's next. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maria, for that. Tim Lynch is asking a question in the chat, so I'll just ask it if you know, maybe. Maybe Tim should ask it, because what I would like to do is just make a motion to approve the budget that you have presented. That is what we need to do as the LSB. We have to approve the budget or reject it. We have to vote on the budget, and then we have to send it up to the Pacifica, to the NFC, and then it will go to the Pacifica National Board. So at this point, I make a motion to approve the budget as presented by our business manager.
Thank you, Sharon. We have a motion. Or do I have a second?
Second, Sabrina.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Tim, did you have a question?
It can wait.
Okay.
And can we just recognize that Tim Lynch has joined the meeting and is marked present?
Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. I see no hands up for questions. So on the motion, everyone, do we want to do anybody who's objecting to passing the budget raising their hands? So anyone who objects to passing the budget.
I think we should have more discussion.
Yeah, we should have discussion. I agree.
Yeah, okay. Discussion now before we vote on this.
Thank you. Okay, so now there are hands up. So Jose, would you call on the people who have their hands up, please?
James McFadden has his hand up.
I just want to say that getting the budget a day before less than 24 hours before we're to vote on it, is just inadequate, so I plan to vote no.
Who's next?
Carol?
I want to comment on that. So we do not have to pass the budget at this meeting. So there's a lot of complaints about, we don't have the budget ahead of time. We have the budget for this meeting. We had preparation. If the body of the local station board decides to pass the budget, then we have that option. And if someone feels prepared, to go ahead and pass it, that's fine. And, there's nothing saying that we have to pass the budget at this meeting.
Thank you, Carol.